Good evening, church.
Evening.
Thank you for coming. Don't you like trivia? Not all trivia is trivial, but I will read you some trivia. I wrote this 11 years ago. Eventually, we will get to the scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would wish to turn. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It seemed when I turned 75, I started getting these questions. How are you doing? Everybody before that, good to see you. Somehow, when I turned 75, it's how are you doing? By the way, don't ask that. Somebody might answer and you're tied up for half an hour. But anyhow, I wrote this in answer to those who call and say, how are you doing? Of late, it seems that often I'm doing more and more of less and less. Other times I seem to be doing less and less of more and more. Are those two one and the same? Things that are different are not the same. Thus, less and more, which are not the same, are different. Now, I must decide which of the two I have been doing and will continue to do. One day this past week, I did nothing. The next day, I realized that I did not finish the previous day's nothing. So if I did nothing, was it less? Less than nothing? Is there such a thing as a negative zero? And since I didn't finish the second day, I had to do more of the less. Perhaps I shall end up with a similar epitaph as was found in the Old West, plural, W-S-T. The epitaph was this: here lies Les Moore, who was shot with a .44, no less, no more. Before that happens, I will continue to do what I can, more or less. That's trivia. But there is trivia that is certainly not trivial. I want to thank you again for the privilege, honor, coming and saying to people in this church, open your Bibles, please. Always enjoy being here, and thank you, Pastor, and all of you for your prayers and faithful support of the ministry that God has entrusted to us. A triune God, Father, Son, Spirit, three personalities, one God, co-equal among the three. Now, Thessalonians 5:23, which we'll read eventually, is not the text. When you get my age, you can do whatever you want to. Like, I plan to leave as soon as I can after the service, and instead of going back to the hotel and sit there and wait until I get sleepy and then get up early in the morning and fight with that traffic going south, I will leave after the service, drive until I get tired, and then find a hotel and spend some time resting tonight. I even have my traveling shoes on. I was built for comfort, not for looks. The triune God created a triune universe so far as our understanding is concerned. That universe is known in three dimensions: time, space, and matter. a pioneer biologist said that in the beginning, God created time, space, and matter. These three, beyond these, no man has gone. What he was saying is that whatever we want to talk about, it comes under one of these three headings: time, space, and matter. In the beginning, that's the time, created the heavens and the earth, that's space, and the earth, that's matter. And each of these three, time, space, and matter, is a trinity. Time, and we can only know it as past, present, and future. Space is known with height, depth, and width. Matter, known by solid, liquid, and gas. And then God created a trinity of life: plant, animal, and human. And each of these is a trinity. Plant is divided not by size, but by how they reproduce themselves. Grass, herbs, who depends upon the wind to scatter the seed, and trees, whose fruit is within itself. So we have a plant world that's a trinity. And then he created a trinity of animals: land animals, air, and water animals. And then he made a human. And that human is a trinity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Again, it is not the text. We will end with the text. Verse 23, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That Trinity, spirit, soul, and body. We generally refer to it as body, soul, and spirit, but the Bible calls it first spirit, and then soul, and then body. I want to look at them tonight in that light, in that order. First spirit, then soul, and then body. It's interesting that each of those three are within themselves a trinity. Let's talk about the spirit. Paul's praying that their spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord. This is the year of our Lord 2022. It's a long time. He was not praying that these people would be alive for 2,000 plus years. He was praying that the Lord would come soon. It's almost the forgotten doctrine of the Bible that even though the day is set and the angels don't know, God himself knows the day that he's sending his son to take us out of the world, we're supposed to pray, thy kingdom come. Isn't that odd? He has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that in that he raised him from the dead. But we're to pray, thy kingdom come. I'll let the Lord worry about how he reconciles those two things. When he said, spirit, soul, and body. When you come into this world as an infant, your, quote, spirit is dead. Now, we talk about a spirited animal. That animal has soul, but does have spirit. I'll explain it, or try. To say spirit is that when you were brought into this world, Adam was clay formed by the hand of God, but he was not alive until God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and then man became a living soul. We'll get to soul in a minute. When you came into the world, it's not that your spirit died, it had not been born. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Human spirit, not just Holy Spirit, but human spirit. And you cannot worship God in the spirit until your spirit has been birthed. I got just the last few minutes of Pastor Aaron's Sunday school lesson this morning, and he was talking about being regened, regenerated, bringing life into deadness. Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Into thy gladness, freedom, and light, Jesus, I come to thee. Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened, given life, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He quickened, brought you to life. The only way your spirit can relate to God is by having the Holy Spirit. And that's being born of the Spirit. All coming to life, whether it's Genesis 1, the earth was without form and void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God began to hover, move on the face of the waters. And all coming to life is a work of the Spirit of God. So when you are born of God, a new creature in Christ, then God puts in you his Spirit, enabling you to know and fellowship with him. Amen. Would you want some more? Can you stand one more trivia? Did you know that Adam was left-handed before he sinned? It's trivia. At the Sistine Chapel in Rome, you may not have been there, but you've seen that picture. I've been there and stood and I've looked at it and thought, I was right. Adam was left-handed. You see that picture of the finger of God coming down? You've seen that picture in this chapel, and it's the finger of God coming down and touching him, and it's Adam's left hand, first finger that's coming up. He was left-handed, messed it all up. Now, that doesn't mean nothing to you, but it means something to me and to my wife and to our second daughter, because the three of us are left-handed. So is he. Yeah. The one that isn't left-handed, we don't call her right-handed, we call her other-handed. The May of you bringing you out of death spiritually into spiritual life also has implications of a Trinity. You have a new faith, a new family, because you have a new father. The only way anybody can relate to God in a meaningful way is that of a father to a child, born of God. Before your salvation, you could only live according to the flesh. After your salvation, you have an option. You can live according to the flesh, where you're in charge, or you can live according to the Spirit, where the Spirit of God is in charge. That's your spirit. The new birth is an instantaneous thing. But prior to that new birth, there's a series of things that happen that brought you to the place of birth, just the same as in with physical birth. You have a birth date, but that event was preceded by conception about 9 months before. And so with your salvation experience, it's an instantaneous thing. And I guarantee you, you didn't come out of the womb singing A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, D. You didn't. You came out with the ability to learn it. And what you know again a Trinity. You know by instinct. You don't have to teach a baby to nurse. Instinct. You don't have to teach a baby to cry. Instinct. Babies know certain things by instinct. You don't have to teach a baby to be afraid of falling. That's instinct. Everything else you know by learning. You learn by academics, or you learn by experience. How many of you know that you cannot slide down a wooden cellar door against the grain? I hope you know by academics. I know that by experience. When I was 4 years old, the song was, "Oh, jolly playmate, come out and play with me. My baby's got the flu, boo-hoo, blue-hoo. Yell down my rain barrel, slide down my cellar door. We'll be jolly friends forevermore." And my brother said, 2 years older and meaner and smarter, said, "Go ahead and try it." And I tried it. And I stood up the rest of the way home. In fact, I stood up for about 3 hours and didn't want to sit down. I had to go to the doctor and pulled out a big splinter out of my backside. It's better to learn it academically. It's a Trinity. You learn by instinct, you know by academics, you learn by experience, but you have a new family, a new faith, because you have a new daughter, new father. The birth is instant. It's the Spirit gives light, and we can say that this Spirit, we have the freedom from the penalty of sin, and the only way you're going to relate to Him as a child to a father. What about the soul? Again, he pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. What is the soul? There are people who teach that not a Trinity man, but that there are two parts of man, and they equate the soul and the spirit. They're totally different. The soul is the real you. And when you don't use the sign language that you used to teach, you forget so much. And I find myself in the middle of fingerspelling the word when then I remember the sign for the word. Signs and fingerspelling are different. Fingerspelling is writing in the air, but signs are drawing pictures. And I was sitting this morning and watching the interpreter and watching the deaf people. And when he read something, the word in the song, I don't remember the song, but it was my soul, and the deaf signer and the deaf were signing myself. It's the real you. Man became a living soul. If you equate the spirit by which we relate to God with salvation, then with the soul, the real you, it relates to sanctification. The birth is instantaneous, and the home going to heaven is instantaneous. One moment here, and present with the body, and absent from the Lord. The next moment, you're with the Lord and absent from the body. But between the beginning and the ending, the moment you're saved to the moment you go to heaven, everything else is a process. That's sanctification, as it was in the book of Genesis, where he said that this salvation and sanctification. Salvation was God made man in his image and according to his likeness. So the image would be salvation. The likeness is sanctification. That's a process, a lifelong process. I was saved from the penalty of sin, April 1947. I am saved now from the power of sin and the degree of my yieldedness to Christ is the degree of my likeness, sanctification. It's the real you. Again, the soul is the center, the seat of three things: knowledge, will, and emotion, another trinity. The seed of knowledge, that's mental. That's what you know, either by instinct or learning academically or learning by experience. The seed of knowledge, that's what we know. It's also the seat or the center of our will, our volition. That's what we do or desire to do. And then it's the seed of emotion. That's what we feel. I am never called upon in the Bible to exercise faith in my faith. I am called on the Bible to exercise my faith in the faith. And the degree of my sanctification will be indicative of how I have yielded myself to the working of the Holy Spirit and let him be in charge. It's making sense? If it's making sense, at least nod your head yes. Won't do any good to say amen. My hearing aids are on the table. So if you're with me, say amen. If you're, I can lip read some. Okay, nod your head if you're with me. Looks like I'm going to start over with some of you. And I don't wish to do that. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body. Let's talk about the body. With the spirit, we relate to God. With the soul, we relate to ourselves. With the body, we relate to a trinity, people, places, and things. It's the way we relate to our environment, to the world about us. And yet, that body that you and I have never gets saved. Never. Oh, I'm old now. I won't be tempted. You're never that old. The temptation of Satan may somewhat depend upon your health and your age and your knowledge, a lot of factors. When David was young, it was a Bathsheba. When David was old, and he was only 70, he'd been king for 40 years, he was only 70, but he was old and stricken in years. The temptation was not a sexual thing, but pride. And he sinned in taking a census of the people under him. For the tendency then would to be proud of the people over whom he had rule, rather than being under the control of the one who had brought him from the sheepfold to the throne. The devil knows your weak point, and your weak point at one point in your life may not be the weak point at another point, but the devil knows, and your flesh never gets saved. Never. I am saved, spirit and soul. My body is not yet saved. More trivia. About 14 years ago, I had a right knee replacement done. Should have had it done before that, but I had it finally done, and I overdid the exercise thing. And I was lying on the couch in the living room. I don't know why we call it a living room. Nobody lives there. You live in a bedroom and a bathroom and a den, but the living room. And my knee was very swollen, and my 110-pound wife was outside on the lawnmower cutting grass. That's my job, not hers. Yes, she was out there riding that lawnmower and cutting about three acres of grass. And you can have 3 acres when you live out in the country. And we're so far out in the country, we get to 6 o'clock news about 7:30. But I was lying there and my knee just twice the size that it ought to be. And my wife cutting grass, and I had the worst thought that I have ever had in my life. This is not trivia, this is true. The worst thought I ever had is this. Wouldn't it be awful, and it's funny, but it's true. Wouldn't it be awful if God gave us a new body, one part at a time? Do you think about that? What do you want first? You won't need that in heaven any more than you need matches. I'd like to have a new knee. I'd like to have some new kidneys. But that's what I lay there thinking, really. Can you imagine the pain of trying to decide which part you want first? Thank God he doesn't give us a new body a part at a time. My flesh never gets saved. Your flesh never gets saved. I serve the Lord in this body, but we will get a new body like our Lord's glorious body. My body is going to be so changed in the twinkling of an eye, the bat of an eye, faster than the batting of an eyelid. It's exciting just to think about it. How's he going to do that? By the same way he saved me, he's going to do that by his power. And 1 minute, I am going to be free from the very presence of sin. Again, here's a Trinity. And then with this, we'll go to our text. Turn, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 8. we come to our text, and I'm finishing with the text. I begin reading at verse 19 of Romans chapter 8. Are you there? Verse 18 of Romans chapter 8. Because the earnest creation, the earnest expectation of the creature, think creation. The creature, the creation, what I've created, God said, it is waiting for the manifestation of the children, the sons of God. You say that is so boastful and pride. No. The all of creation has been subject unto vanity. This creation was made subject to emptiness. Not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creation also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Do you realize that all these upheavals of nature is nothing less than the groaning of the creation? And what are they waiting for? The manifestation of the sons of God. New bodies, perfect union, fellowship with the Father, perfect peace with ourself, our soul, and bodies like our Lord. And the whole of creation is groaning. Verse 23, not only they or the parts of creation, but ourselves also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves, we groan within ourselves, waiting for the what? The redemption of our body. We're saved by hope, faith, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what does a man sow? Why doth he yet hope for? For if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And that is the pretext, the beginning, the introduction to that famous verse. We know, we are learning, we are present continuous action learning, knowing that all things are in the process of working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, aim, objective, will, who he foreknew before the fact he knew that he would predestinate, predetermine them for conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be shown to be the firstborn among many brethren. And in the mind of God, remember that eternal present tense of his, whom he did predestinate, he also called, whom he called, also justified, past tense, and whom he justified, them he also glorified, past tense, in the mind of God. One more Trinity. There's coming a day when we will see him. Amen. We'll see him just as he is. Second of the three, we will be with him. And third, we'll be like him. We will be like him, as perfect as he is. That's not trivial. Amen. I'm going to see him, and I've been everywhere he was, but I've never seen him. I'm going to see him. I'm going to be with him, and as hard as it seems for you to conceive it, I'm going to be like him. And God's people ought to say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So what does this leave it? The creation's groaning, we're groaning, even the Spirit of God is groaning with intercession, which we cannot say, we cannot utter ourselves, but he makes intercession for us according to the will of God, for he does that as the mind of the Lord. He knows what we need. When John on the Isle of Patmos had finished seeing all that the Lord showed him, John said the only thing, logical thing, even so come, Lord Jesus. Are you ready?
Yes.
You looking for him?
Yes.
And when the battle's over, we'll wear the crown. But it will be his crown, and we'll put it at his feet.
Amen.
Stand with me, please. Point of the message tonight is encourage your hearts in the Lord. We're going to sing after I prayed number 296. We've sung it before when I was here, and it's been, the older I get, the more precious it comes to me. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. 296. I don't know your heart. You come on a rainy Sunday night. I appreciate so much the privilege of coming, being here, and speaking to you. And I thank God for you all. Let's keep right on growing until we see him and are with him and are like him. Father, keep your hand of blessing upon this congregation, this church, pastor, Karen, family, staff, Josh, all of them, these men and women who serve here. Keep your hand of blessing on them, increase them in this day of spiritual decline. I pray you will increase them numerically, financially, spiritually, and may we not look surprised when you come. In Jesus' name, amen.